Ramsey TV.
Why don't we call this the Person and the Accomplishment of Christ Part 7? Why not? Let's do it. This will be the last part because I think people get intimidated when they see Part 8, Part 9, Part 10. They kind of just throw up their hands and here he goes again. Here he goes again. I could have called yesterday's video Part 7, but I decided to call it Thanks, That's Great. Just a little nuts and bolts here before I go into Romans chapter 6. Some inside baseball here. It's so strange. I'm not kidding you. Like, I made yesterday's video the night before, and as you could tell, I was tired. I was not feeling great. I didn't get to it till late, which was mismanagement of my time. But anyway, but I knew that the message was powerful. I knew this message of acceptance and thanksgiving. But when I say acceptance, I mean the acceptance of something that was already done and accomplished, and the thanksgiving and the enjoyment of it. I knew that the kernel was there, and I proved once again with yesterday's video that it's the message, not the messenger. I made it. I went to bed. I got up the next morning to edit it, and I watched it as a complete outsider, as a third party. And I said, this is great. This guy is a little off. He's a little strange, but wow, what great words are coming forth. So it's the message, not the messenger. I love when that's confirmed for me over and over again. When I am weak, then I am powerful. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. Romans chapter 6. Do not ever think that Paul is trying to tell us how not to sin in Romans chapter 6. That's what everybody thinks when you get to verse 14. For sin shall not be lording it over you. Sin shall not be lording it over you. That verse, that phrase is so misunderstood. When people hear that, they think, okay, that means I have to stop sinning. Only if I stop sinning will it be able to be said that sin is no longer lording it over you. But no, you're missing the point of Romans 6, 7, and 8 completely. Sin shall not be lording it over you. What does this mean then, if it doesn't mean stop sinning? It means don't let sin be your taskmaster. Don't let sin be the driving force in your life, the goad that causes you to fight it. Like I said the other day, a slave of sin, right, is just as much someone straining not to sin as it is someone indulging their flesh and sinning like crazy. Because someone who is straining not to sin, I think of people like Mother Teresa or any number of your Christian friends who have that look of haughtiness and arrogance that they're performing some wonderful feats for God. I'm sorry, but sin is lording it over such people. Sin is lording it over them. Sin is their lord. They're serving it. They're serving it just as much while trying to fight it. Fighting it, resisting it, sweating over it. And for such people, sin is their lord. If the Lord is your lord, then you will have the disposition of what I gave you last night in this very car in the dark, which was, thank you, that's great, and not worry about sin. Philippians 4, 6, you don't worry about sin. People who don't worry about sin no longer have sin lording it over them. Are they still sinning? Of course they are. Of course they are. And you have to remember, we're going into chapter 6 from chapter 3 and 4, where Paul explains justification apart from works of law, apart from any behavior issues whatsoever. Unless you're coming through the portal of Romans 3, 4, 5, you can't understand what's going on when you get to Romans 6 and you see that sin should not be lording it over you. We died to sin. Yeah, look at this. In that Christ died, he died to sin once for all time. Thus you also be reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That's Romans 6:11. Be reckoning yourselves right now to be dead indeed to sin. Oh, I can't do it. I'll never stop sinning. No, you missed it again. Swing and a miss. That's strike two. This has nothing to do with you stopping sinning. It means you're dead to sin. And in the Concordant version, A.E. Nock capitalizes sin, which I love. Sin as a power, as a force. This isn't a mistake. It's not a miss. This is the thing. The capital S that came to us via mortality, via our forefather Adam. This is the big thing. And we are to consider ourselves to be dead to sin. It doesn't mean you stop sinning. It just means you're dead to the accusations of sin. You're dead to the condemnation of sin. You're dead to the common, the continual proddings of sin to get your attention. Sin is a taskmaster. It wants your attention. And any publicity is good publicity for sin. Sin doesn't care if you're doing it like crazy or trying like crazy not to do it. Sin doesn't care. No publicity is bad publicity to sin. It's your master. Whether you're doing it like crazy or trying like crazy not to do it. The issue is, it's your Lord, and you have not died to it. You have not realized. Anyone who is engaged in this activity has not realized that his or her old humanity has been crucified with Christ. This is the transcendent message of Paul, that we are not reforming our flesh as Christianity is engaged in constantly. All religious people of every religious stripe, they're trying to reform their flesh. We are not in the Reformation business. Israel, under the law, yes, they are in the Reformation business. And the corresponding physical reality of that is that during the 1,000 years, the earth is going to be regenerated. It's not going to be a new earth. No, it's going to be reformed, if you will. This earth will have the curse removed. It'll be the same planet, the same oblate spheroid, although it might be smoothed out a little bit, might finally be round, who knows. But it's the same thing. Our reality is found in the new heavens and the new earth. Yes, our reality, when Paul says all things are new in 2 Corinthians 5, there's an illusion there, if you have eyes to see it, of the new earth. The new earth is a completely, it's not a regenerated earth, because this earth is blown up at the end of the 1,000 years, right? Blown up. And there's a new heavens and a new earth. That's our spiritual reality now. It's not a reformed earth. It's a brand new earth. The old one has been blown up. Think of this. Your old humanity has been blown up, destroyed, disintegrated. The problem is you still see it in the mirror. You still smell it. Yeah. Old humanity. Crap. Well, your body is lagging behind your revelation, as I tell you and tell you all the time. Don't worry about that. How can you say that? Because Paul said, don't worry about anything. That covers me every time. Every time I say, don't worry about something, and people are shocked, I got a scriptural out in Philippians 4:6. Or you could call it a scriptural in, if you would like. That's fine. How did this marvel happen, where we don't even have to worry about sin? Sin is not our Lord. It's not our taskmaster. We don't owe it anything. In fact, I recommend you snub your nose at sin. Do this. Watch. Watch the car cam. Yeah. When sin starts making you feel guilty, when it starts suggesting to you very subtly and very righteous, self-righteously, sounds very good. You need to fix this. You need to dress yourself up. How can you even think you're justified in this condition? These are the tempting things that sin, capital S, will do. Of course, sin is being personified. It's a figure of speech here called personification. Sin is actually being personified, so I capital S. Paul does the same thing in Romans 7. Sin operating in me, personifying it. It's personified here as a Lord, as a taskmaster, as a guilt inducer, as a tempter. But Satan is behind it, see. It's Satan, and he's the father of lies, John 8:44. And that's all he has. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 6. Satan is the father of lies. So what else is he going to do except try to convince you that you're not complete in Christ? You're not complete. You need to do this to complete yourself. This is why Paul went ballistic when he found out that some of the Judaizers were coming into his beloved Galatian ecclesia and telling them that they need to be perfected by law. Paul said, nope, you're complete in Christ. Paul just wrote an entire letter fighting that. How did this marvelous thing happen? I do have a little time to explain that to you in Romans 6. We who died to sin, how shall we still be living in it? See, it starts right out with talking about sin. We who died to sin, how can we still be living in it? We died to it. See, we died to it. You can't even say that you're dead to sin unless sin exists in your life. This entire chapter makes no sense whatsoever unless you're a sinner. It makes no sense. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Sin shall not be lording it over you. We have died to sin. How shall we be living in it? These verses make no sense. They're not applicable. They're dumb unless we're sinners. That's the only way they can apply to us, is if we're sinning. Again, this entire chapter is not a how-to list of how to get rid of sin. This is how to deal with sin, how to deal with your continual failings in the flesh. Once you realize that, once you get your head screwed on right, but you can't get your head screwed on right in Romans 6 unless you've screwed it on right in Romans 3 and 4, and you realize that God has declared you righteous apart from acts simply by the gift of faith that he gives you. Abraham's the example. Chapter 3, chapter 4, then chapter 5, we find out that justification is just the beginning. Because we're justified, because God sees us as righteous, and we're going to find out how that happens here in Romans 6. Now, in Romans 5, we find out we have peace toward God. Justification comes first, and peace toward God, fancy word for that is conciliation, that comes later. Because you can be declared innocent by a judge, and that is exactly what Christ, as in the capacity of judge, says: you are innocent of all wrongdoing. You see how different that is from pardon. Pardon says you did wrong, we're going to pretend you didn't, we're going to overlook the penalty, but don't do that again. Justification is you didn't even do wrong. Do you understand? You didn't do wrong, so there's nothing to forgive you from if you're justified. Only when you realize that can you have peace toward God. Justification is the stepping stone to conciliation, that is, peace toward God. The judge might declare you not guilty, but you don't necessarily go to lunch with the judge. You don't go to the judge's house for dinner, open his refrigerator, sit on his furniture. Hey, judgy, wudgy. No. It's great he declared you innocent of all charges, but you don't go to his house and eat dinner with him. But in this case, we do. We're declared not guilty by Jesus Christ and God. That clears us of any possibility that we would not have access to God and Christ. Then the added blessing comes in that friendship is restored, and now we have this intimate relationship and understanding that you're clean. As you send your brains out today, understanding you're clean and that you don't come into judgment, only then are you able to walk into the presence of God and be embraced and to enjoy a relationship, a familial relationship, a paternal relationship, brotherly relationship with Christ. Christ is our brother. Do you realize that? Jesus Christ is our brother. God brings many sons to glory. Jesus Christ is the firstborn son. We are other sons. We are called sons of God. That makes Jesus Christ our brother. It sure does. Wow. That's something else. And God is our father. And this wonderful family affair occurs when we realize that we're justified. Notice I said when we realize we've been justified. Nothing we can do can make this justification. The justification and the peace exist. They're not made. There's nothing we do to create it. We just come to a realization of the truth, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:6, I believe it is. Might be 2:4. We come to a realization of the truth, and that ushers us into this wonderful throne room, if you will, or living room. I like to think of it as. Read my book. You can find all this information in my book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Radical title for a book. The radical world is word, and that is while. This is assuming people think cigarette smoking is a sin, which it's not, but let's just say it is. Okay, you know what I mean. I'm looking at the clock. I don't have time to show you how what I've been telling you, that sin is not lording it over you, what that means, the steps toward chapter 6, which is chapters 3 and 4, justification, chapter 5, peace with God, conciliation. I'm going to show you tomorrow. It's going to have to be a part 8, but that's a good number. 8 is a number of the new beginning. It's the number of Jesus Christ. And so tomorrow will be the end of the series, but a new beginning to something else wonderful from the Word of God. So tomorrow we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts. Talk about inside baseball. Talk about inside baseball. Tomorrow I'm going to show you in Romans chapter 6 how these marvelous blessings that are in our account occurred.